All right, our next presentation is Improving Truck and Shovel Utilization with a Surge Feeder. Our presenter is David E. Pitchford, president of MMD Sizing America. You know, as president of MMD Mineral Sizing, Mr. Pitchford is responsible for the company's sales and marketing of equipment for the minerals extraction industry. A graduate of West Knox Technical College, he has extensive experience in the design of high-capacity rock breaking and sizing machinery and has an active role in advising design upgrades for all products. How about a warm welcome for David Pitchford?
Good morning. I'd like to show you a little bit of innovation from MMD today. We've always been the kind of company that has innovated from day one. With some of you may know about our sizers that are now extensively used all around the world since we started the company 40 years ago. And we've also been championing the fully mobile in-pit crushing stations with conveyors, the IPSC. Now, I'm not going to talk about that, but it's part of what I'm going to talk about initially to show you how we got to the product that we're going to show you that we really think can help you in terms of truck and shovel operation in any mine. The two most, and I'm not knocking truck and shovel here, but these two pieces of equipment are so difficult to get their full potential from because they can never be absolutely matched together, and they can never actually really be efficiently load from one to the other and do it accurately. Probably about 12 years ago, I was involved in a project in Colombia. The mine operator there wanted to buy shovels, but he was looking for a P&H shovels, and they were on 2 years delivery. So he wanted to then decide to load trucks with an apron feeder. And basically, when you start trying doing that kind of thing, you know, you can get to a situation where you load the trucks very accurately. But a mine haul truck very rarely carries 98 to 100% payload. The shovel can't load it accurately. An electric shovel with trucks really exceeds 6,000 tons per hour when it's capable of doing 10 or 12. The reason is normally it's waiting for trucks. This is a short video. Here you go. Down a bit. Thank you. This is a short video where we first 12 years ago started loading apron feeders with a drag line, and then the apron feeder is loading a truck, and you can see that the truck's basically driving underneath the feeder. The feeder's hydraulically driven, so it can be stopped and started, and what we found very quickly is that we could load trucks almost three times faster. We could also load them very accurately. The loading system of the apron feeder can be stopped immediately because it's hydraulic. So you can very, very accurately load the truck. The other thing that this showed us too, it eliminated reversing as far as you bringing your truck into where the shovel is. Basically, you'll see a little further into this video that the trucks just basically follow on in line, so there's no reversing takes place at this area. So from truck in to truck out is less than 10 seconds. I won't go any more into that, but this picture here shows us where you can use a shovel continuously because you're loading a fully mobile crushing station that's loading a conveyor. So the shovel driver never has to stop other than to move to the next piece of mine he's going to load into, and this piece of equipment goes with it. Now, last year I stood on this machine and I watched him loading for 4 hours. He never stopped, the shovel never stopped. And I'm trying to make a connection here, but There's another short video coming in here. I'm sorry these aren't connected in, but there we go. Basically showing an overhead of this view, but what it tells you when you see this is the shovel now can reach its capacity of 10, 12,000 tons an hour. We have this system operating in China at 10, 12,000 ton an hour. So the basic thing in my mind when I was flying back is how can I put these two together and not have to have a conveyor? Because conveyors and spreaders, you're not going to throw your truck fleet away for a set of conveyors. It's a $200 million, $300 million investment. But if we could put a piece of kit just like that feeder next to the shovel and make it mobile with the shovel, then now we've got a piece of equipment that moves with the shovel, and we can utilize the shovel to its maximum capacity. I'll just go back through those notes again. We can see this, a fully mobile sizer station with conveyors can operate at 10,000 ton an hour. We've proved that. We've done 12, 14,000 ton an hour consistently over a shift with one shovel. Most open pit mines aren't suitable for that style of mining. They're around the corners. You're not going to put conveyors in them. All the existing mines already have a truck and shovel fleet. When we see the truck loading system at Drummond, basically you've no reversing, you're loading three times faster, and you're at a 98 to 100% load factor in your truck every time, because the truck can monitor the load coming in, and the truck can signal the feeder to stop when it gets to its full payload. This is a mine in Chile, and basically they've got nine shovels, 95 trucks, and their average production out of their shovels over a 10-hour shift is only 5,000 tons an hour, when the shovel itself is capable of doing 10. So we've got to bring these things together. There's another operation there with even more shovels and so on. But these mines are not suitable to put conveyors in. So can we utilize these two things together? Yes, we can. A shovel will move around the pit, make it a bench 60 to 100 meters wide, depending on what your operation is, what kind of mine you're operating in. The trucks never have to reverse into position, and then the shovel can do its full max thing, and you can load trucks with one operator accurately. I'm just going to let this video run for a second here. It's the same one again, but it just shows with the feeder taking the material away that you can keep making passes with a shovel, and the shovel's never waiting to dump into the back of there. And that area he's dumping into is exactly the same shape as a 350-ton truck. He can keep his swing passes in the 90 to 120-degree range, and he can keep loading that thing all day long. And you can see from this is, by the time he gets back with the next load, we've moved enough material out of there, and he can still keep loading. I'm just going to let him come around one more time, and I'll cut it off. That operation there, we've had operating now for about 5 years in China, and we've achieved 9,000 ton an hour shifts, 24 hours a day. This is the basic piece of equipment that we've designed to work between the shovel and the trucks. Now, the feeder on there is exactly the same feeder you saw on that fully mobile system. The tracks are the same tracks that's on that fully mobile system we built in China. So the main components of this piece of equipment are already designed, tested, and tried. There's nothing new about it as far as what you're seeing there. What we had to do then, we had to find out how we could get as many inputs as we could and find some computer software so we could really do some accurate times as to what we could achieve with this piece of equipment if it was put into the system. Obviously, if you're moving overburden, You don't need to crush it. You can use the application at the top of there. If you're in a mine application, even in hard rock, if you want to crush the mineral at the face and load your trucks, then you can put the three pieces of kit together. Now, this page is a little complicated, and it's developed from a piece of software called Arena. Arena will take all the inputs that you put in there, and it will tell you exactly what's happening in your mine based on the inputs that you put in. It's only as good as what you put in, obviously. But once we'd got that thing done like that, we thought, well, we can't really show this to people, because when you'll run this now, it's very confusing watching that and trying to get people to say, oh, yeah, that works. So what we did, we took all the information from that software and that readouts from that, and we made a nice animated video. But the video, which is true to scale, true to movement and time, we speeded it up, and we compared on the left loading trucks with the surge loader versus loading trucks backing into a situation like that. And we found very quickly that we can outpace that other system almost immediately. Now, the only thing we did on this thing, we only did single-sided dumping at this point in time, but all the shovel movements are identical in both cases, other than the fact on the right-hand side, he has to wait for the truck to back in. The other thing we did, we actually ran the feeder on the left-hand side a little too quickly in the animation, and once we get to about 15 minutes, we go in. We have to stop, because we've actually emptied the surge loader. The shovel keeps loading, but we stop the trucks for about 4 minutes while the shovel catches up again. But the bottom line of that is the shovel is still loading all this time. It's never stopped. And I think you can see now the difference in tons and how many trucks have been filled, you know, in the first 20 minutes of this operation. If anybody wants to look at this a little longer, we've got this and we can show it you, but I won't let it go on forever and a day. During that 4 minutes also, we've also put in the shovel moving over, the time it takes for that and everything else. And then we start loading again once it starts to catch up over there for a while, but now we get back moving again. This is another short video of here, I've taken everything away and upgraded that last video, so we have purely the surge loader working with trucks. And you can see how simple the operation is, and you can mine across that bench, and the surge loader has the tracks in the arc as well, and it moves exactly with wherever the shovel driver wants it to be. It can be done remotely, automatically, or whatever. On that width of bench there, we've laid it out, and we actually make two movements of the surge loader to take that 60-meter wide bench. So there's not a lot of extra movement or extra things going on there, but we do now have a truck that's fully loaded every time. It's also loaded in the center. You're doing a lot less damage to your truck beds because you're not dropping 100 tons a time. It's coming steadily off the feeder. You're not shock loading the driver. He feels a lot more comfortable. And you can see he's moved around now to another position already. And this won't go on too long. I just wanted to see the next piece where we put the actual arena animation on with it as well, as far as on the bottom. This also, I think, takes a lot of stress away from the shovel operator, because he doesn't have to worry. He just knows he needs to get a full bucket and keep putting it in the back of there. We're nearly there. I'm sorry. I'm not used to doing a lot of these speeches. I just want to see a little bit more of this one. See, below it, that's all the numbers in the Arena software being punched in. And, you know, a mine operator can give his parameters to us, and we can punch this into the system and see how, you know, compare his existing system to what this would do for him. Okay, basically, your mine will see the following benefits: higher volume due to precise truck fill level. Alternatively, an OPEX saving due to reduced truck fleet, because actually, you'll see in the next couple of pages where we can actually do the same tons with less trucks. Obviously, your truck body wear damage you do to your truck beds and everything else in the truck loading, and also you get improved tire life, because you load the thing, the truck's loaded exactly in the center, and you have a complete cone. It's not loaded one side or the other side. It's very easy to spot the truck in its position for the loading and everything. There's in a 10-hour shift with these parameters, and we've got copies of this if anybody wants them to on our booth. And you can change the parameters, but basically we've just set these up. In a 20 hours operating, there's the potential to do 1,400 ton an hour more with the same number of trucks, 12 trucks. Sorry, let me go back again. I'm on the pointer, don't I? We've got one shovel, BNH4100. We've got 12 trucks in both applications. Then the different parameters here, and you can see, in 20 hours, we've been averaging 7,600 tons an hour there, and 6,200 tons an hour there, with the same number of trucks. If you do the opposite and make these tonnages almost the same over that shift, then you only need 10 trucks versus 12 trucks. And the potential of that in terms of, you know, mining operations, the savings, It kind of blew my mind when I thought about it, because it can be 25% in terms of your capability to move material out of mine or savings in trucks. We right now already have six of these machines out in bids. We haven't manufactured one yet, but we're ready to do it. We've got everything ready to manufacture it. We think the first one's going to go to Chile, to Escondida. That's where part of where this thing came from at the start, but we are so surprised about this. We've kept it under our hat for about 8 months, but we've decided to go public with it because we found out we cannot patent it, which obviously when you have an idea, you like to do that. But basically, that's it, gentlemen. It's a piece of kit that we think can really change the life of shovel drivers and truck drivers, and it can really make you a lot more efficient in your mine with a little bit of capital investment. Its operating costs are absolutely minimal. We know these feeders that we put on there. We've got feeders that we put into Colombia. That video I showed you, put them in there 12 years ago, loaded with drag lines. They're still using the same feeders, and there's one thing for sure, we have not got rich on the spares from that point of view. It's a very robust piece of kit, and it's very economical, and it does its job the whole time. Other than that, any questions, please?
Thank you, David. Very nice presentation. Jeff Hall with ASARCO. A couple questions. A second operator needed then for starting stopping the apron feeder? You mentioned that can be done remotely.
Well, we've got an electrical package that we thought of initially, but it's not specific. But at Drummond, basically, they did it manually. They had a guy sitting up on the top, and the truck driver blew his horn, and that told the guy to shut the feeder off, which is not a really good way to do it. I agree. But we think it would be very easy for the truck, as its payload comes up, for the truck to signal the feeder to stop you know, like I'm 98% full, and it will stop the feeder up move.
So that goes on to my second question. So the truck driver has...
It can be automatic, or it can be the driver.
Monitoring his payload system?
He monitors his payload. He can stop it there, or the payload system can signal that to stop it, and same thing for starting it when the truck comes into position. And he's also very... It's very easy for him to get into a perfect position to be loaded as well.
Thank you. Tom Bobo, Split Engineering. I had a question. On the actual video, the one in China that you actually had, it looked like you had a sizer on it.
Yeah.
One of the questions I had is, what do you do with the oversizes? It looked like really good fragmentation, but what do you do with the oversizes? It kicked off and then it just picked up later?
Basically, the design of the surge loader itself, the feeder is 10 foot wide. Basically, if it'll fit in the shovel, it will go up the feeder. It's up to the shovel driver not to put anything, you know, massive in the surge loader if he doesn't want it in the truck. It's going to happen every now and again, but it's not difficult to get big lumps to turn around and come off the end of the feeder. Now, if the operator spots it there and you don't want to put it in the truck, then you could obviously move the truck out of the way, run it off the thing, and bring a dozer in and push it out of the way. But in the first instance, I think it's the shovel driver's responsibility not to put massive oversize. And when I say massive, I'm talking things, you know, 20, 25 feet. If it's only 10 foot, then, you know, you're already doing that. The shovel's already putting stuff in your truck that big already. It will go up the feeder, and it will come off the end of it. It won't get stuck.
Thank you very much for his presentation. My question is that, how is the availability of this piece of equipment? You're adding a piece of equipment to the whole operation, and the numbers that you're seeing is over like a 20-hour shift. What are the availabilities, like how often it goes down, and how quickly can you move it from one mining phase to another? Because like most of the time in a mine, there are changes in the schedule, and all of a sudden you move a shovel from one location to another. How quickly can you, you know, move this up to the other phases?
First of all, the apron feeder is, it's gone off. Well, okay. The apron feeder is very, very reliable. We've had situations with this feeder put brand new in, not even put a wrench on it for 2 years. It's that reliable. Our feeder is basically Caterpillar components and our decks. But in terms of your second part of your question, in terms of moving, we can move faster than the shovel because our ground pressures are going to be better when the thing's empty. And because we don't have any slew rings on the thing, the tracks are forwarded and reversed to get the thing going in the direction it wants to go. So you can turn it around on itself and then just go off in the direction you need to go. Now, the tracks that you see on that are exactly the same tracks that's on our primary crushing station you saw in China. Now, that thing has got 1,040 tons on there without any material in it. And we drive that around a pit. Again, it moves faster than the shovel. So in terms of keeping up or moving it around, it's not difficult. It's no more difficult than you moving everything else. It's an extra piece of kit at the face, I agree. But it really doesn't need an operator. And the maintenance on it is really very small. So it's, yes, that will create some extra time over the year, but the savings in the other departments of what I've showed you are so, in my mind, fantastic that it's, I don't know, I've had nights where I haven't slept thinking about this. I know that sounds crazy, but when you know, some basic ideas sometimes, and not necessarily me, I've had a lot of help in our company, but our company's always thought out of the box. Everybody says they do that, but we actually do. All our equipment in the last 40 years has grown and grown because of ideas different from what the mining industry's always had as the standard. And, you know, that fully mobile station you see there, that's the only one that works. You know, our friends at Krupp and Tacraf, FLS, have all attempted to do it and all failed. We haven't failed, and that's the third one we've built. Sorry, I'm doing a sales job, aren't I?
One more quick question. Have you considered air quality permits with this, because you're creating another transfer point. You're going to kick up some more dust. Are you going to have to add sprayer bars or something eventually?
Well, it's very easy if you want to put water sprays on it. Obviously, it's a water tank you've got to carry around, but on the primary sizer station in China, we do have water sprays on that, yeah. It is an extra movement there. You're at the bottom of the pit. I don't know. I know air quality is important. You can't just go and do what you want, but no, we haven't done any studies from that point of view. We have a lot of feeders around the world, because with the fully mobile sizer station, you've got the shovel dumping into the back, which is basically dumping into a truck, and then it comes off the feeder into the sizer, and obviously we're breaking material there. And it's in China, so I don't know whether they're not as keen on air quality as everybody knows as we are in the West. But no, we haven't done any studies on it, but I'm sure it's not something that we couldn't put into the project to be taken care of.
I was just curious, how is the feeder powered, electric or diesel? And then second is, does it perform well on grade if you're putting in a 10% ramp, or if you're on a continuous 6% grade, can you utilize that equipment?
Yeah, the power source, it will be electric motors, which are electric power source, exactly the same as you've got to your shovel. We'll be driving hydraulic pumps. The hydraulics will drive the feeder when you're in operating condition, and then you can switch the hydraulics over for the tracks, to drive the tracks when you're going to move the thing. So it's just a valve change on that. In terms of its maneuverability, the weight of the unit that we're proposing is less than the weight of the fully mobile sizer station you saw, and it's the same tracks. And that was driven into the pit in one piece and maneuvers around the face. I think we might even go up to 10% grade with that thing. I'm not sure. I can check on that for you 100%, but it's certainly not an issue with the tracks as far as maneuvering it around the pit.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, well, that concludes this morning's session. We have lunch scheduled at noon today. It'll be in the same area as the breakfast area, so across the hall to the